We've looked at it as a walk of progress, movement. We're moving toward a destination. But the pathway between here and heaven is full of the unknown. And so we, in our first session, looked at that point that God is leading us through an uncertain pathway, but a definite destination. And that we need to keep moving, even though it's uncertain. By faith, we take our steps. I remember when we were kids, we used to play a game. I forget what it was called, but you used to ask the leader how many steps you could take. Remember that was a giant step. And that's kind of what the Christian life is about. We're taking steps. And those steps are by faith. We don't really know. We take those steps and we don't know what's out there. We know the final destination, but we don't know what each step is going to bring forth. I was thinking when Joe said, well, pray for me, I might be going to Alabama. Joe has no idea what's going to happen to him if he goes to Alabama. No idea what's out there. But that doesn't mean he's not going to go to Alabama. You know, if he feels the Lord wants him in Alabama, he'll go to Alabama, not knowing exactly what's going to meet him in Alabama. And that's basically life, isn't it, for the Christian? He doesn't show to us each day. We see the final destination, but not each day. Then our second session, we were discussing the point of our conduct, walk as a conduct, how we behave ourselves. Our behavior, so important. And we looked at some passages of how we no longer walk, where our conduct is not to be like the world. How sad it is when the world cannot distinguish between a Christian and one of their own. That's sad. And you know, I was struck in reading recently in the Old Testament how one of the things that disappointed God regarding His people, I use the word disappointed, not that anything really can disappoint God because He knows what's, but one of the things He expressed dissatisfaction with was that His people were a poor testimony to the Gentiles because they acted just like the Gentiles. And He had set them apart, they were supposed to be a distinct nation, and they turned out to be just like the Gentiles. They worshipped gods like the Gentiles. They behaved like the Gentiles. They acted like they had never received a revelation from God. They just lived their life like all the other pagans out there who knew nothing about God. And God was very unhappy with that situation. And it's the same today. When we as Christians act as if we have not been delivered from our former life, it's a great tragedy. Now today, we're going to continue with a thought in our first lesson today with the thought of conduct, thinking of our walk as an expression of our behavior, but we want to look at the positive point now. How should we be walking? Right? Last night we looked at how we shouldn't be walking, what God has delivered us from. I want to look at the point, how should we be walking? Now, we'll discover as we look, we're going to look at five passages again, just as we've been doing with each lesson. And we're going to discover, at least I discovered as I went through this, that there's no blueprint that God has given us for each life. In fact, that to me has always been one of the amazing things with the God that we know and serve. He doesn't stereotype every Christian. We're just as different in our Christian walk as we are in our physical characteristics. No two human beings look exactly alike, and no two Christians walk exactly alike. And I want to say to you, this can be a danger. We're going to see this as it develops this lesson. Don't try to stereotype your life, you know, and live exactly like Joe does, or exactly like Mary does, or exactly like, because God has His own design for your life. He's going to use you and work in you and accomplish in your heart different things than he may in others. And this is a great danger. It leads to many times to discouragement on the one hand, because we try to become what God never intended us to become. Or sometimes it leads to pride. We begin to think that we've really become somebody important, and the truth of the matter is we're far from it. That we're not anything that we think we might be. So that there is tremendous liberty here in the Spirit of God teaching us to walk. And he will deal differently, just as he does with each assembly. God hasn't given a blueprint as to how an assembly is to be exactly designed. There are certain specific points, but between those points there's much liberty. And so we find this in our Christian life. Now, point one, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I think the first basic thing about our walk is we need to have priorities in our life as Christians. Now again, you know, those priorities will differ with each Christian. I'm not going to state up here what I think your priorities have to be. But we do need to have priorities. Life is made up of a tremendous amount of choices for everybody, and that's been true down through the ages. And what makes the basic difference in our conduct is what choices we make. In other words, what choices we give priority to. That's what makes all the difference. Because obviously we cannot choose to do everything. You know, obviously, life is just too short, too full of things, too many decisions to make. Obviously, we know that every given day of our life, there are some things we might choose to do that we're never going to get to do. You know, who of us don't experience this? How many things don't we have on the list that we're going to get to that we never get to? We've always intended to get to. And the next thing you know, 10 years go by, and 20 years go by, and 30 years go by, and we never got to them. Now, should we have? What should be our priorities? Notice in Ephesians 1, or Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You're going to notice in the three verses we're looking under this first section that each one uses the phrase, walk worthy. Interesting. Interesting phrase. Walk worthy. In other words, as Christians, we don't just walk, but we walk worthy. And I'm suggesting in this that to walk worthy, we have to make certain choices. There has to be certain priorities that we put first, that we must do, we must consider, we must take time for in our life. Certain requirements are placed upon us because we are Christians. And here we see the one is, it's a walk worthy, notice, of the calling. That is, we have been given a special calling. And therefore, each day of my life, in my daily walk, I must give that calling consideration. I cannot walk without responding to that point, that I have been called out of the world, that I've been given a special mission. I've been given some special opportunities. Some special responsibilities, some special privileges. And therefore, I want to enter into those. Right? I want to make those a part of my life. And I think too often We allow the calling to be shelved, to be put aside because we're too busy with the other tasks of earthly existence and earthly living. Secondly, the next verse, this is all under part one here, this walk worthy. Colossians chapter 1, I want you to notice verse 10, where it says, that you may have a walk worthy. Notice there's your words again. Colossians 1:10. That you may have a walk worthy. There's walk worthy again. But now notice, here it isn't of the calling, but that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Alright, that involves some priorities, doesn't it? Do I make this choice? Do I do this thing? Do I spend this time in a particular activity? I must ask the question, is it worthy of the Lord? Is it well-pleasing to Him? Too often, you and I tend to ask the question, will it hurt anything? Does it, would there be anything wrong with me doing this? That's really not the question. The problem with that is if we use that question with our priorities, we're going to waste a lot of time. Whereas there's a lot of things we can do in a day that there's nothing wrong with them, right? I can waste a lot of hours doing harmless things, but they're not fully pleasing to Him. And that's the question we've got to ask. Is this what the Lord wants me to do? I have a master who I'm serving. And I want to do that which is fully pleasing to Him. And this will help me make better use of my time if I keep this point in mind, that I have a calling and I have a master who I want to please. So it's not so much a question, is there any harm in this? But is this what He would like me to do? Does this fit into His program and into His plan for my life? And then one other verse in relation to this first point, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. We have another walk worthy here. I realize in this type of a study where we're looking at the daily walk, the topical study, we're breaking into the middle of passages. I know that. I wish we could take the whole passage and spend time on it, but we can't do that, or we're not going to cover the topic that we've been assigned. So I am breaking into passages here, and I in a sense I want to apologize for that I'm breaking into the middle of a passage, but in a topical study of this type, we have to do that. Now notice verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 2. That you would have a walk worthy. Okay, here it is, a worthy walk. A worthwhile walk. One that counts. That you would have a walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Now, whenever the Word of God puts together in relation to God and the future, when it puts together the kingdom and glory, those two words, you ever see king and glory together? We're talking about that future time when the Lord comes again, His second coming, when He returns to earth, when He will reward those who have been faithful to Him. We're talking about, in other words, reward, rule, blessing in the Lord's second coming. So, there's a real sense then in which I want to make my choices in regard to the future. Is this something that's going to count in the future? Or is it something I'm wasting my time on that 5 years from now it won't make any difference? It'll mean nothing. And this is where attitude becomes so important, in allowing the Lord to control not just our activities, but our thinking. That that job of mine that I have to do every day. You know, we can get into the pattern of thinking, well, what will that matter 5 years from now? Well, it matters in the sense, as we read last night here in Thessalonians, that God wants us not to be busybodies, idlers, walking around doing nothing. He wants us to work. So if I go forth each day and do it unto my master, do it unto the Lord, then every day I work in my job that's being registered for eternity. It no longer just becomes a daily task that I'm doing for a paycheck. It now becomes a service to the Lord. And I can make activities become, the mundane activities of life become a service for the Lord that will count for all eternity. If I do it in that spirit, if I do it as unto the Lord, if I do it because I feel the Lord wants me to do it, and I'm asking Him to help me to do it, then I do it to His glory. And therefore, it does not become a wasted death. Even when you get to be 61, you start to worry about wasted days because you figure you don't have an awful lot of them left anymore. When you're young, oh, you think days, I got loads of them. Of course, you may not. You could be making a serious miscalculation. But you assume you do. But as the days, as the years go by, those days become less and less, and they become more important to you. And you don't want to reach the end of the day, another wasted day. Walk worthy. That's the point here. Make the right choices. All right, secondly, if we're going to walk with the Lord and have that conduct that's going to be pleasing to Him, we need to have daily power. Not just daily priorities, but daily power. That is, we're not going to do it in our own strength. That's for sure. And I'll tell you something. The longer you live as a Christian, the more you become aware of that. That world out there is a rough place. And it's not getting any better. And I'm not going to walk pleasing to the Lord. I'm not going to walk against that tide in my own power, my own strength. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is you. Think about that. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is you. That is, yourself is going to be one of the greatest interferences to your walk. God never asked the Christian to be introspective, to be looking within for the strength that isn't there. He makes us go through a period of introspection when we're first saved. We take a good look at ourselves in Romans 1, 2, and 3, and we find out that there's nothing good within us. We're part of a condemned race, and God, through the Spirit, makes us feel condemned. And we come before Him and ask Him to save us. That's the initial, the beginning of the Christian life. But you know, that's the last, really, that we should look within. The Christian life should really be looking up to God for strength. Not looking within. Every time you look within, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because there's nothing there to look at. Now, let's look at two verses in relation to that. Romans chapter 6. And verse 4. Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Now that's both spiritual and, I believe, an actual act. It was assumed that the Christians were baptized. And in being baptized, they symbolize the fact that they were buried with Christ through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, now notice this phrase, so we also should walk in newness of life. So we walk in reliance on the new life that God has given us. Not on old self. We don't depend on old self. Old self will just discourage us. Old self will fill us with doubts. Old self will fail us. But we walk in newness of life. That new life that God put within us is what we draw upon for our daily walk. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We have another verse emphasizing this point. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now, I've noticed this particular verse. Some commentators, there's some disagreement on the interpretation of this verse. But let's look at it this way. I think we do no harm in looking at it this way. I think this fits in with other patterns of Scripture. So therefore, if there is another interpretation of this verse, that's fine. I'm not dogmatically saying this is the absolute interpretation of this verse. But let's look at it this way. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, since that fact is true, that you received Him, He came into your heart, then the point is, walk in Him. He's there. Employ His presence for your walk. Walk in His strength. Walk with the realization that Christ is in you, that you have received Him, that His presence is with you, right? We mentioned this in our first lesson. He takes us out in that pathway, unknown, but He's walked before us. He's walked the pathway. Now, He's with me in every experience, every event of life. He's there, and I can draw upon Him. Lord, help me. How many times do you utter that prayer in a day's time? Lord, help me. Peter uttered it out there in the water. He began to sink. And we couldn't count the times we've said it. Lord, help me. He's there. And we can rely upon His strength. How important it is that we learn to do this in our daily walk so that our conduct will be becoming to Him. Third, each day we need to have a pattern to follow. We need to have a pattern. Someone whom we can pattern our life after. So important. We're imitators. Basically, the human being is an imitator. And whether you realize it or not, this is tremendous to me. When this point was brought to me, it was extremely challenging. Whether you realize it or not, right now you are imitating someone in your life. You're trying to be like somebody. And you may be totally unaware of it, but you are. You could be imitating your dad or your mom, something that you would be aghast to even admit. The thought horrifies you, but you might very well be. You might be imitating a very close friend. You might be imitating somebody that you've admired from years back. But there are many facets of your life that are imitation, and we need to have a pattern. Now let's just look at three verses in relation to that. Ephesians chapter 5, they're all going to be in this same chapter. Ephesians chapter 5 mentions walk in three specific areas. And each one is interesting. Notice in verses 1 and 2. Be followers of God. Imitators. That's really the idea of the word there. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Walk in love as Christ. Be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ. That's what the verse is telling you. So our life can be patterned after a life of love. that was exhibited by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In opposition to, remember what we studied last night, the way we formerly walked, it was one of greediness, of selfishness. Now love is the opposite. Our old nature takes. Our new nature gives. Our old nature wants everything for itself. Our new nature wants to share all that we have. Which is really what love is all about. And that's how we want to pattern our life. Notice in verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the world. Walk as children of light. Here I think we have the influence of the Word of God. In verses 1 and 2, we have the influence of the person of Christ and of God. In verse 8, we have the influence of the Word of God. Light exposes. Light keeps us from darkness, doesn't it? Remember last night, we said that in our former life, we walked in darkness. We were not exposed to the truth of God. We want to expose ourselves as children of light to God's truth. And we want that to be our guide. We want that to be our pattern for life. We want to pattern our life after God's truth, after the Word of God, so that we're walking in the light. So that His Word will be the light to our pathway. It will be that which will direct us and guide us. And it's so important, therefore, that as a Christian, I'm patterning my life after the Word of God. Who cares what the world says? Now, who cares how they say it ought to be done? We want to know how God says it ought to be done. And this is so important. And then in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circumspectly means looking all around. Looking for opportunities. Verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is for you. It means, you know, being alert, being sharp for the Lord, looking for opportunities. Lord, what would you have me do today? I want to pattern my life after your will. Not what do I want to do. Not what, you know, has the world planned for me to do, but what do you want me to do? And Lord, make me aware of opportunities that are around me. Help me not to miss them. Help me to use them so that I redeem the time. You know, so that the time of my life is not wasted. It's not lost. Because I've taken advantage of opportunities or not. Be aware. If we were alert as Christians, I believe that God, every day of your life, gives you opportunities if you look for them. Every day of your life. I don't care where you are. I don't care what your position is. I don't care, you know, whether you're feeling well or whether you're sick, whether you're tired, or whether you're full of pep, whether things are going well or things are going badly, I think there's opportunities there that God will put in your pathway if you look for them, if you're alert to them. Now, of course, if you're so filled with yourself and so, you know, feeling so sorry for yourself, or you're so upset about yourself and you're so worried about yourself, then you're not going to see the opportunity. Then you're not being circumspect, you're being introspect. See the difference? Introspect, you look within. Circumspect, you're looking around. Now, of course, first of all, we've got to be upper spect, right? We need to look up, be imitators of God, be aware of the presence of Christ, then we can look around. But don't look within. Because that's just going to disappoint you, occupy you with all of your problems, and you're going to miss the opportunities that are around you. Somebody that's sitting at the lunch table at school or at work, sitting there, all filled with his own problems, worrying about himself and all the things he has or hasn't done and all the problems and all the disappointments of life. He's not going to see the person next to him that's sitting there with tears in their eyes. You're not going to see him because you're too filled with your own tears. But if you look around and you see that person with tears in their eyes, you see there's somebody who's got some real problems. Forget mine. Let's talk about his. And the Lord's going to give you opportunities. So this is the idea of each day, looking for that pattern that God would have laid out for my life. Each day he has one. Each day he has a pattern for me. Fourth, each day we need, and this fits very closely with three, but we're gonna take this another step. We need to have perspectives in regard to the gospel. We need to have prospectives in regard to the gospel. I was a Christian back home who's a salesman. And he was telling me one day that he goes out each day with a list in his presence as he gets into the car of what he calls prospective customers. Now, what does he mean by prospective customers? These are names that were given to him one way or another. Maybe through his office, maybe through another customer. Somehow, his names got referred to him. The people he's going to call on who are prospective customers, that is, somebody that might buy his product. And he's going to call on them with that hope in mind. That's his job. Now, we as Christians need to have this same outlook. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. And notice these two verses, 5 and 6. Two verses, by the way, I would recommend for your memorization program. You do all have memorization programs, don't you? You don't let a week go by without memorizing some verses. That's so important. I've emphasized that here before, and I, you know, this is not just a mechanical kind of thing that I'm trying to impress upon you. This is vital to your Christian life. You must store memory verses in your mind. And then eventually they'll get down to your heart. As you come across experiences in life, God will use those verses you put in your mind and make them real to your heart. But you've got to get them in there. And you just absolutely must. This has got to be a priority in your life. And I'll tell you, it's a tough priority. The way life is today, to take time out each day for memorization is a battle. Really a battle. But you must do it. It's absolutely vital in your Christian life. And these are two verses I would recommend to you. Verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Well, I like that verse. Tremendous verse. What's he saying? Be ready for those on the outside. Be ready for opportunities. Now, well, I will be stressing this afternoon in our second session that word outside. We sometimes forget about that. You know, they are on the outside. Some of us get pretty much in with the people that are on the out. And that's where we get messed up, because then you can't be any testimony to them. If there's no difference between your life and theirs, you've got nothing to talk about them. They've got to see that difference. Otherwise, you've ruined your opportunity before you even start. But we are to look for, this is the idea in this verse, we're to be looking for opportunities for prospective clients for the gospel. Looking for those who are ripe for the gospel. Who've got, notice, some questions that need to be answered. Tremendous verse. You may know how you ought to answer each one. There are some people out there that have got some questions that need to be answered. They need to find the person whom they can ask the questions, and you might be that person. Be ready to answer them. Each one, because each one needs a different answer. Though the gospel is the answer to every problem, yet each one has to be handled in a different way. But we should go forth in the day with this thought in mind, that God wants to use me to deal with a soul today. He may give me that opportunity. Then we have spiritual goals with secular tasks. Think about that thought. Spiritual goals with secular tasks. That's what the Christian life's all about. If we've got secular tasks that we've got to go through, we're not set off from those. We're human beings that have to, that's a part of our life. But we can have spiritual goals with those secular tasks. And one of them can be reaching out to those on the outside with the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 4:2, you can also mark down in relation to that. 4:12, I'm sorry. Not 4:2, 4:12. We've referred to this verse before, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. There's the verse again, outside, there's the word, that you may walk properly toward them. All right, our last item. Each day we need to have purpose. Now this we already stressed in our first session, but it's worth re-stressing. We need to have purpose. We're going to walk worthy. We're going to have a walk that conducts itself in a way that brings pleasure and good testimony to the Lord. It must be a life of purpose. Why am I alive for another day? We must have goals. We must know why we're here. People who become buried under despondency. People who stop living. You know, there's thousands of people out there like this. I see them all the time in nursing homes. And they stop living. You know, they're physically alive, but they're dead. What happens? They no longer see a purpose in life. You've talked to older people like this, haven't you? You say, how are things going? Well, you know, I don't know why I'm alive. I wish the Lord would take me home. I don't know what I'm here for. That's sad when it happens to us as Christians. And it can happen so easily. Don't think that you're immune to this type of thing, because you're not. You can wake up each day, you know, we need to ask ourselves the question, okay, here's another day, Lord. Why am I alive? We might choose, you know, not to be alive. Paul did. Paul said, I'm pressed between two. A desire to be with Christ, which is far better. You really say, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be with the Lord. But Paul didn't stop there. See, so often we stop there. I'd like to be with the Lord. I've had it. This life is just, you know, Lord, take me home. Now, Paul didn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, to remain is more needful. Now, think of that. This is over in over in Philippians. To remain is more needful. What does he mean? How can he make a statement like that? Well, he's saying the Lord needs me here. That's why I'm here for another day. Sure, he could take me home. Of course he could. Why couldn't he? But the Lord needs me. So I have a purpose in life. Now let's look at a verse in relation to that. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a tremendous verse. I'm sure you've all memorized it. Verse 10. Absolutely tremendous verse. This is vital, this verse, to your Christian life. let's just spend our last 5 minutes looking at this. We are His workmanship. Isn't that what we were saying last night? Let's go back to that statement. God doesn't keep you alive because you have a job to do. But God keeps you alive because you have a God to know. With His workmanship, He's working on us every day. He's working on us. God, I thank You I'm alive today because it gives You another 24 hours to work on me. And I know You want to work on me because it's going to give me a greater capacity to enjoy heaven, to enjoy Your presence, to make me what I ought to be, to make me more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to conform me to His image. What a wonderful privilege to be alive for one more day that You might work in me. That's the point. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him. What did He prepare before Him? The good works. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walk in what? In good works. Now notice, the Christian life produces good works, but we walk, we don't work. Very important. He's doing the work. We're walking. Right? We're His workmanship. Walking is not working. We must not confuse it. Working involves self-effort. In the scripture, it's always spoken of. We're saved not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the verse tells us previous, doesn't it? By grace you've been saved, not of yourselves, not of works. And that goes on. Christian life doesn't consist of trying to perform good works for God. That's going to discourage us. That's self-effort. That's looking within, saying, what can I do? What can I produce for God? You can't produce anything for God. You're worthless. As far as your own self-efforts are concerned. But you're not worthless as far as what God wants to do with you. God can work in you, and from His work within you, because we are His workmanship, He can work on others through us. So we're His workmanship so that God can work on others. The idea. And as others see what God is doing in our lives, as His grace is demonstrated by what our Christian conduct becomes, others are convicted and God begins to work on them. And that's the purpose, that's the goal. The Christian life really involves a pressing on. Paul used this statement, I press toward the goal of the mark. I press on. It's a walk that involves a stretching almost. Did you ever watch, there's two different kinds of walks. You watch somebody that's walking to a task that they don't want to do. And it's kind of, you ever watch a little kid, having to, he was told to go pick up his toys, or something like this. And it's kind of this kind of a walk. There's the walk of the person that can't wait to get there. Because it's something that they're anticipating, something they really want to do. And they almost stretch those legs as far as they'll go to reach that task. Now, the Christian life, it's so full of expectancy that we're to be stretching. We press. That's the idea of Paul's words, we stretch. Why? Because we have a purpose. We have a goal. We know that God's working in us, and He's working in us because somewhere out there, every day of my life, there is someone who needs God's influence and God's help. and I might be the instrument this day to be that person. Unbeknown to me, right, as I walk out that door in the day, or get up in the morning, if I can walk out the door, there is someone out there that needs to know God's touch, and I might be the one to do it. And as God touches me, so He will touch others through me. And that's my goal, that's my